Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
The World Atlas of Cheese, a 1976 classic by Nancy Erkoff Stork. Nancy Erkoff Stork, a Dutch food expert. And as we read into it, we find out more about different countries, like Portugal being a disaster place, Spain being interesting, but not having much room for cattle, going into milk stock. Having a lot of goat cheeses going through here, and we're just reading through here. As we read, I find out about different types of cheeses, sour milk cheese, cheeses which aren't cheeses at all, or mozzarella comes from buffalo, and how cheese molecules are formed. And we'll just continue reading through this. There's only a bit of a page to go, and it's beginning to rain ever so lightly here, so I'll just stop and walk to an unrainy place. So, reading again from page 131 of this fantastic encyclopedia, or Atlas of Cheese, we start. Quite a different cheese is the Quescus, made from the region of Santander, a soft type which only ripens for about 6 days. Queso Pasigo sin Pensa is related. It's a small cheese of irregular shape and fat content of 58%. And there's also a pressed and ripened Prasego Prensando that has less fat and has very mild, neutral taste. Amata is unique, the only cheese to be made from colostrum of bee stings, and the first milk given after calving. Amata is a long-keeping, semi-hard, piquant cheese, and slightly better. So piquant means tangy, sort of a word that, you know, it's not used in normal language nowadays. The Northwest offers a wealth of cheeses, and included in those mentioned above are Titilia. It's a fresh, sourish flavour and salty overtones. A Cabero, a mushroom-shaped cheese, the molds are filled overflowing and bald cap results, which is either eaten fresh or ripened for a few months. The San Simon, a semi-hard farmhouse cheese, pear-shaped and hard, shiny, one to taste as fine, creamy, a little sourish. Finally, the Ulla is semi-hard, flat center, cylinder, white to light, yellow in color, with a mild taste. It's ripened outside the farm in an open shed protected from the sun by dried wind. So I do remember reading this. I don't know. Okay. So, sorry if you've listened to this before. This is part of my training, is to get myself, so I test my memory the whole time. Fresh white goat milk cheeses are common everywhere. Typically, Alicante is sold directly after it is made. The cheese has a lovely aroma of fresh milk. The Cabra de Cadiz is another fresh type already after a few days. It has a yellowish rind and a firm consistency and sharp but agreeable flavour. Sometimes these cheeses are treated with olive oil to increase their keeping properties. Fresh, unpressed cheeses that still contain a quantity of whey are very popular in Spain. So we now understand, or from this review episode, how the casein encaseins little particles of whey, and you have to press them out, which is only very lightly acidified. Therefore, the cheeses are prone to harbour germs. And this is the interesting thing, that cheese becomes antibacterial by adding salt and increasing the acid. The safe factory cheeses have been developed. Pasteurized cow's milk, the Queso Fresco Roselle, named after the inventor Professor Roselle, has become very successful. Along with the Spanish cheeses, well-known international cheese types are widely produced, amongst them Edam and Gouda. I have to apologize that I do remember reading that last section, but the Professor Roselle and the cheeses, but there you go, this is my memory. Now, Yugoslavia and Albania. The eastern end of the crescent formed by the European Alps joins a bleak, arid mountain range that stretches almost the entire length of Yugoslavia. There are the Dinaric Alps, traversed by fertile valleys with a Mediterranean climate. The richly wooded western slopes of this alpine range descend to Macedonia and Serbia, where there is harsh winters, while the north of the country, the climate is more temperate. Oh, gee, that's interesting. Here are the plains of Vojvodina, the granary of Slovenia. In spite of the great contrast, Yugoslavia is predominantly agricultural, and 80% of the land is drained to the tributaries of the river Danube. There are plenty of cows, but over the entire country, including the islands, there is twice as many sheep. The once numerous goats have now gone because they destroyed the newly planted virgin forest. Collective farming in Yugoslavia is not so far advanced as in the other parts of Eastern Europe. Farming families continue to live in isolation, especially in the mountains, and still make cheeses according to recipes handed down generation to generation. Production has always been on a limited scale, yet as early as the Middle Ages, certain hard cheese types were sent to Dubrovnik and Constantinople. Even the Roman colonists knew of them. Pressed by hand, wrote the historian Columia in the 1st century AD, a technique still used today in Bosnia and Herzegovina, to make a plastic curd cheese called prescure. In fact, the cheese was probably introduced by the Romans, since it is so closely resembled provolone and cacovelica, or whatever it is, cheeses, where the curd is heated with hot water and kneaded to a variety of shapes. The Italian cheese, cacovelo, does, in fact, have a Yugoslavian counterpart, and look, this is a Yugoslavian word, I cannot pronounce it. It's called kakajavav. In common with certain other cheese-making countries, where the whey is utilized, Yugoslavia makes albumen cheese. So we now understand why I do. That's from the whey. Heating the whey causes the albumen protein to flocculate. That means condense. And when it is used to make a type of cheese, in preparing manure, milk is often added to increase the output, and so the fat content varies. This is also applies to Ura Scatura whey cheeses. They are eaten fresh and unsalted unless the cheeses need to be kept. Then they are salted and pressed into wooden moulds. In Slovenia, they are made into balls, while in Macedonia, they are stuffed into paprika peppers, and which gives the cheese a sharp taste. Many cheese types are ripened in brined whey, like the Macedonian Binji Sir, a semi-hard to hard cheese made from sheep's milk, cow's milk, or both. The cheesemaker beats the curd with a wooden stick until it has the consistency of yogurt. The drained curd is then cut into strips and ripened for 3 to 4 weeks in a tub filled with salted whey. The cheese develops no round. It possesses a solid consistency with many small holes that sharpen the taste. Unlike Benji Sir, Tucani Sir is made extensively on farms, and the method of preparation has remained fairly primitive. The farmer crumbles the curd, previously salted, into a barrel, packs it in tightly, and places the heavy stone on top in order to press the cheese, expel the whey, which has been replaced by fresh brined whey. Many of the mountainous region in Bosnia comes the cheese Beli Sir Ukisma. Mild, slightly sour taste. It is ripened in brine, often with parchment between the curd layers, and acquires a soft, subtle consistency after about 4 weeks of ripening. The farmer makes it with raw milk that has spontaneously soured, while factories use acidified pasteurized milk. Another brine-ripened type, feta, is originally Greek and sheep milk's cheese. In Macedonia, cheese is made from buffalo's milk, sometimes mixed with cow's milk. Srbija milka is of buffalo origins and easily recognizable from its aroma. The cheese is made only for home use. A wealth of recipes. Somborski Sir, so I think Sir is the Yugoslavian or whatever it is for, it's Yugoslavian, no longer exists for cheese. originally by the Serbians in Vojvodina in 16th century. Raw sheep's milk, cow milk, so a mixture of the two is used, mixed with 20% to 30% water. The layers of curd are stacked in a vat with a high rim, which is later removed, so about a quarter of the cheese sticks out of that like a slough. Active bacteria feasting on the soft curd create a lot of gas. The cheese acquires a bitter taste. Majinski sir is made on a mountain farms in Bosnia, Herzegovina, Dalmatia, Montenegro, from the boiled and skim milk. The curd is pressed and put into stacks to mature for a year. In the manner of the Romanian Brizda cheeses, among the hard grating cheeses is the big cylindrical Kefaltwia, originally a product of the Greek Macedonian mountain dwellers, made from raw sheep milks. The even heavier Grobzinkse from Croatia is an aromatic and piquant. There's lots of holes in the paste. From Lovsegebirget in Montenegro comes a hard cylindrical sheep milk cheese called the Nijezuski sir, which is about 3 to 4 months ripening, develops a thick, hard yellow colour and a piquant taste. Everything has a piquant taste. In Croatia, the Liki sir, oh god, dried and smoked above an open fire. It too is a hard cheese made of sheep's milk, but cow's milk is sometimes mixed with the former or on its own. Care must be taken with the drying of these cheeses. If dried too quickly, the rind becomes too hard and the paste too soft. Over the centuries, an incalculable number of cheeses recipes have been handed down through farming families. Although these have the places of honour on the farms, the range of Yugoslavia's cheese has recently been increased by the addition of foreign types such made in factories, including Gouda and Trappist Pour Salut type. A very popular product is Kajamak. Although whether or not it is strictly a cheese is open to question. Kajamak is cream skimmed off whole milk, which is the fat, which is salted and packed in wooden barrels. It's sold by weight from its wooden container, either fresh or briefly ripened. It's often used to make cheese pastry. It might be expected in a country where cheese is made from, and every farm cheese is an important part of daily diet. Slovenia, Croatia, cheese completes the meal. In Serbia, it precedes the main dish. Albania. Albania cheese is similar to those of the neighbouring countries. In the north, milk comes from the Ilian cows and water buffalo, and in some places from sheep and goats. This is due to be replaced by cattle, for goats, although important to the rural economy, are damaging the newly planted trees, forests. This looks as though she's got, gosh, I have to do that. She's just replacing that goats are out. Putting forests in, they hate goats. This is something that I read. There's a caption which I read, which is just about to Greece, which is a long one. Yeah, so we've done Yugoslavia and Albania. Now, Greece goes on for a fair number of pages, so that's all we might be able to get. No, Greece goes on a reasonable page. So, pictures of Greece. It's reasonable to suppose that ancient Arcadian Greece, a land of gods and shepherds flowing with milk and honey, would be skilled in the art of making cheese. Heroes would have enjoyed a small white cheese made of sheep's milk, goat's milk accompanied by resin-scented wine, berry milk bread, called Artolongus. Sheep and goats were all home to mountainous inland landscape. But the Greeks also had cattle. In fact, Homer once described the beautiful goddess Pallas Athena's, so Pallas from Palladium, and Pallas is, so you've got Cerium and Palladium, these are from Greek gods, but they're also named after planets and asteroids. Okay, Pallas, as cow-eyed and the Nymphagetta as whiter than curd. Today, these hardly seem to us aromatic descriptions of classical beauty, but Homer's intent was obviously complementary. What still rings true, however, in his account of the Odyssey, is the suckless Polyphemus, son of the sea god Poseidon, a sheep farmer who prepared cheese in a traditional manner. Here Homer is describing how the hero, Odysseus, entered Cyclops' caves accompanied by his companions. We did not find him at home, for he was herding fat sheep in the field. We cautiously looked at everything. There were racks heavily laden with cheeses. In stables, the lambs and rams were pushed against each other, separated by age, the oldest and the middle group, and the very young. The casks were overflowing with whey, and they were the sturdy pails and trays which to be milked. So there you go, cheese really classics. One of Berenice's main characteristics is his perpetual hunger. Since the vets, Odysseus is Cyclops, and the Cyclops is an always hungry cheese maker. He makes huge amounts of cheese. Modern Greeks are hardly less demanding, for they head the list of the world's cheese fanciers, consuming yearly a classic average of 15 kilograms per person. To cheese this average, Greeks' farms and factories need to make a lot of cheese, and practically all is made from milk of sheep, still the most useful animal in mountainous country. Cheese and myth. The Greek landscape is dominated by Pindus Range in the north and the mountainous Morea in the south, and most of the rock strata is limestone, and its birth of marble, olive groves are sparse, and there are a few other trees varieties. For it is said that Greece was almost entirely denuded of trees in ancient times, mainly by shipbuilders when Greece realized her future as a maritime nation. According to ancient Greek historian Herodotus, the glory that was Greek had been nourished on the unpromising shore soil. Poverty, he wrote, had lived in Greece from olden times, but the Greeks are industrious and resist poverty. The land remains still fit only for primitive agriculture. Farmers spend their entire lives trying to cultivate small areas of fertile land in the mountains, tending leaves, growing tobacco, gathering olives for the press. The shepherd has, now this is really interesting, that the overall really aggressive lands have come from places which don't have a lot of agriculture to support them. It's sort of like Rome. The quality of the soil went down. Greece has got low quality soil. In fact, there's hardly a Greek myth in which the shepherd fails to appear in the plot, one of the most famous being Delphin, son of Hermes, which brings us back briefly to the story of Odysseus and Cyclops Primus, Polyphemus, who returned home to his cave of Jesus. Homer continues, he sat down and he milked the sheep and the bleating goats, everything according to the rules of the art. And on each mother he pushed a young one, after he had curdled, that's the nanny goats. They actually used to have goats in the British orphanages, which would go up to feed the orphans. Isn't that amazing? After the curdled half of the white milk and stacked in plaited baskets, the other part he put away in barrels to drink from. From this story, one might conclude that Prometheus, the cheesemaker, was an object of Greek envy, a person, albeit one-eyed, who was never in want of a good meal of cheese and milk. Although the Athenians are said to live a considerable luxury, they were able to afford milk, wine, and good bread. Most average Greeks were vegetarians by force of circumstances, as many are still today. Meat was a rare treat, and the peasants of classical Greece lived mainly on a diet of barley, porridge, wild fruit, olives, cultivated figs, birds, cheese, goat's milk, or watered wine. Some meals might be supplemented by fish, olive oil, was one of the major exports, along with Greek wine, and thus olive groves and vines became important crops at the expense of cereals. Good grazing was scarce, and the cattle, such as they were, pulled a primitive plough, as their milk was used for the manufacture of cheese. It couldn't compare with the popular Hughes milk types, quickly made and even more quickly eaten. The only animals that seemed to thrive on the stony hillsides were the sheep and goats, and their milk was the sole source of protein of the daily diet. Even this became further impoverished, so that the cheese was regarded as a luxury following the Peloponnesian Wars in the 5th century BC, when the orchards, farms, and livestock were destroyed. Yet the importance of the cheese has survived throughout history, largely because the high mountain sheep were productive while other nourishing foods such as failed. Cheese, like bread, as a staple food. So this is interesting in terms of that cheese has been a relatively stable source of food, which with civilization has waxed and waned, and they've been able to make cheese. It's interesting to go across. Cheese, like bread, was a staple food and was often combined with bread in Greek recipes, probably in order to give common coarse grain loaf extra flavour and moisture. Cheese made by Polyphemus and the most ancient Greeks was undoubtedly an ancestor of the modern feta, the whey being drained to make the albumen cheese. In the mountain, the main plains of Greece, even under the smoke of the modern Athens, modern Athens in 76 is completely polluted. It was completely polluted when I went there. The shepherds still prepare feta cheese exactly the same way. They keep the milk in leather sacks during the day, and quickly curdles due to the flora and lactic acid bacteria present in the sacks. When heated over fire, the proteins of the milk, casein, and albumin flocculate, enclosing the milk fat particles. Oh, that's interesting. The curd floats to the top and is then skimmed off with little baskets. It can be eaten immediately as fresh cheese, but it's often dried in air and kept. So there you go. That's what happens. The proteins encase the fat. In the cheese factories, for the preparation of fetters, cow's milk is sometimes used instead of sheep's milk. Feta cheese, made extensively from cow's milk, loses some of the familiar character. It's not as smooth and fragrant, it takes a yellow colour, and does not normally appeal to the Greeks. This means that the cow's milk must either be mixed with cheese milk or goat's milk, or that the cow's milk must be discoloured before processing begins. By mixing, the cheesemaker can vary the fat content. Sheep's milk is very high in fat, goat's milk less so. In order to give the cheese better keeping qualities, the cheese factories generally start with pasteurized milk, which is soured and pre-ripened. As soon as the milk curdles, the curd is, so this is beginning to understand a bit more, cut into blocks, which after a short rest period is scooped into molds and hung in cloth. The mold is turned regularly and the curd in the cloth is pressed. The curd is divided into rectangular pieces. This is salted by hand or placed in brine bath, dried in short time in molds, finally ripened in sealed molds. After each turning, they are hermetically sealed as germ-proof. The characteristic feta is that it ripens in its own way, mixed in brine. That's why feta's thing. That's called brine cheese. The cheese is made by this process, do not let it rind. The paste is very white, a bit sourish, piquant, and quite salty to taste, but not bitter. In North Greece, feta cheese is made under the name Thelmes. Kefalotri and Kasseri. Kefalotri is a hard cheese used by certain Greek dishes, produced during the lactation period of the sheep and goats in cheese factories across the country. The name is said to come from the cheese's resemblance to the Greek hat called the kephalo, but it often carries a regional name. Pindus, for example, is the name after the Pindus mountain range, and Skyros, named after the small islands in the Aegean. The milk is always processed raw. After curdling, stirring, heating, and daily pressing in molds, the cheese is rubbed with salt before being returned to the molds for 3 days for good rind form. The cheeses are then ready but they usually remain during the warm months in cooled storage rooms. Thus, the ripening time can never be exactly determined. Long ripened cheeses have low moisture content and are insensitive to high outside temperatures. The dry cheeses are mostly used for grating. A great deal of fresh calafellatory is kept by the factories for the preparation of casseri, a kneaded plastic curd cheese with good keeping qualities. Calafellatory is cut into bars, which is then prepared close together, pre-ripened close together, like Italian provolone made subtle with plastic and plastic and hot water. So they actually mold the cheese like Play-Doh. Micellare and Galotri. The whey that remains after the preparation of feta and kefir cheese is not always thrown away, but used as a raw material for the manufacture of Micellare and Albumen cheese, similar to ricotta. So, this is a bit hard for me to note. So, the cheese made by the Albumen and not casein in the whey is the ricotta. The flocculated curd is put into little baskets and eaten fresh, preferably when still warm. Alternative balls are formed from the curd, which are stored and used as grating cheese in summer. This sort of cheese made the Macedonians under the name Monuriura, or Epiros, and Anthotyros, from the island of Crete. One of the oldest Greek cheeses types, the sheep's milk cheese that is made at home in many parts of Greece, is the Galori, a relative of the above cheeses, coming somewhere between feta and Micellare. The freshly yielded milk is left to ripen for an hour, then boiled, causing the proteins to flocculate. The curd is mixed with salt, and then in the next few days it's occasionally stirred, after which it is put to a stack of animal skin and filled up with curd for the next milk yield. After 3 months, the cheese is ready for eating. A salty island cheese. Some of the islands of the Aegean produce a vein cheese called Kopanisti. It's made by cutting prepared curd, putting it in cloths, kneading it by hand, and forming it into balls the size of an orange. These are placed on racks to dry, soon develop a mold flora. With the kneading treatment that follows, the cheese works this flora together with a quantity of salt well through the curd. Covered with a clean cloth, the cheese ripened for 1 to 2 months in earthenware pots. It's called pop cheese, a type made in other warm countries too. The high salt content gives the product a good keep qualities. The Greeks also produce a foreign imitations. Greek cheeses factories that use cow milk often manufacture Gruyere type cheese called Gravira, and Parmesan and Fontina are also made in modest quantities. Cheese, food for the gods. Herodotus comments on the proverbial poverty of Greek skills of the Greek still applies. Proverbial poverty of Greeks still applies. For the greater part of the rural population, little has changed since antiquity. Even the working class city dwellers enjoy scant prosperity. Nevertheless, the people are extremely hospitable, a national trait that is also established in the classical times, as the following legend shows. The great god Zeus and his son Hermes, the helper of travellers, decided to visit the aged couple of Philemon and Bacchus. The old people had no idea that their guests' identities, but were, with their natural generosity and in spite of their poverty, they managed to produce a tempting treat, including cheese, olives, cherries, endive salad, radishes, boiled eggs, and a dessert: figs, dates, grapes, and a slice of honeycomb. A royal menu for Greek at that time, and even today it would be a far from ordering. For the average family, the day starts with a fresh warm bread. Feta, that was the legend. They mentioned cheese. starts with warm bread, feta cheese, perhaps an egg, in combination, born of simplicity, but tasting good just the same, especially with the sweet, strong coffee that follows. Slices of cheese also constitute the main part of the midday meal, with olives, tomatoes. On special occasions, this might be preceded by a watermelon with very small pieces of charcoal grilled mutton, but generally the meat is a luxury. For the low-income groups, the cheese is a good source of protein other than bread. And we have seen Greece cheese consumption is the world's highest. The influence of tourism has, in recent years, brought many changes to the Greek eating habits. The popularity of home cheese type is decreasing as foreign imitations gain more and more ground. While the main meat dish of the Greeks is undoubtedly the kebab, other more sophisticated dishes are found in cities, particularly the hotels that cater for tourists. As one might expect, cheese features in several of these specialties, among them the well-known moussaka, where grated kettle fritti cheese is sprinkled between the layers of aubergine and meat mixture. A more simple version, paprika, aubergines are stuffed with meat and sprinkled with kalafiorgi cheese. Pastio is another layered concoction with macaroni and meat sauce and grated kalafiorgi. The other important cream cheese is, of course, the versatile feta, which is added to a beef casserole called stifado, to dishes with chicken and with shrimp and tomatoes, and to the delicious spinach cheese pie made by filo pastry called the spankoptia. Okay, yes, so let's read it. Oh, that's the end of Greece. Greece didn't have too much. And I must admit, it's the hard cheese. Is a sheep's, hard sheep's cheese. So it's all sheep's cheese. East Germany, DDR. That doesn't get much of a thing, but they've got a little one. They've got Altenburger and Steinbuscht. Okay, so this is 76. Germany is broken in two, and they wouldn't believe you told Oakenstalk that your cheese atlas is out of date. She wouldn't believe you. Most of the landscape of East Germany is flat green, especially in the north of Berlin along the Baltic coast. Because only a fairly high annual, of the fairly high annual rainfall, it's a rich pasture land, only suitable for raising cattle, making dairy products. Cheese making here is considerably influenced by the Dutch during the 18th century and pioneering Prussian King Frederick, who founded the model cattle farm near Berlin in 1730. He gave the farmer's daughters a wedding present of 24 talers, silver coins, if within 2 years they learned to make cheese of the same quality as their Dutch teachers. So Hitler was into Frederick the Great. He was a great cheeser. The present economy of East Germany is not geared for large-scale production of cheese. A shortage of cattle fodder has somewhat reduced the milk yield. Nevertheless, many well-established types are produced, both traditional German and foreign ones. Few hard cheeses are made. Tellfahnder, a sort of Emmental cheese, and there is some Chester or Cheshire and Cheddar production being continued mainly in the area once known as Mecklenburg, and used to manufacture processed cheese. In the range of semi-hard cheese, all of which have a rind flora, there is more of a variety. Tolstenel or Tilster is sold everywhere. There is also the Steppenkäse, so Kass means cheese, which is much more interesting than the rather more interesting Steinbusch, which is scooped out in a long draining table like Belgian Hieve cheese. The cheese is made in a cube shape weighing a maximum of 700 grams, with a smooth, slightly yellow, solid but not crumbly paste, a mild rather than piquant flavour, and a reddish rather than dry rind with a chlorine flora. There are varieties with fat contents of 30%, 45%, and 50%. So notice that they do 40%, it's 45%. From the Thüringerwald comes the Altenburger Ziegenkäse, a soft cheese made from raw cows and raw goat's milk. The factory produces made from pasteurized milk with varying fat contents. Crumel is always mixed in with a combination of Camembert and Corian molds, so there's some particular made of the mold. This is introduced to produce a white and red flora, a combination that demands special ripening conditions. It's developed being activated by whey. Ziegenkäse looks like thick pancake and weighs 250 grams, has a strong taste and aroma, and soft, creamy yellow paste and tiny hard and hardened inch holes. If the curing temperature is too low, the cheese remains too soft, but if the temperature is too high, it becomes chalky and hard. Another specialty of the same region is the one that's now almost vanished, the Altenburger Mittelbärenkäse, crumbly, sharp and piquant bars of cheese made from cow's milk, quark. This is the quark. I've got to really understand quark in game, to which the camel is added. The quark is left in Middenbosch to become riddled with cheese mites, which are later brushed off. The sharp-tasting cheese is eaten with bread and sometimes often coffee beer. This is right. So this is in England. They have little cheese insects, and in Italy, cheese worms, and they've got cheese mites. So this is actually living organisms, little insects, mites going on. Oh God, it's disgusting. The sharp-tasting cheese is eaten with bread and sometimes softened with coffee or beer. More than half of East Germans' cheese rations consists of fresh cheese, 90% being skimmed milk. Quark, skim milk quark. So I really have to understand what quark is again. Schauermilchkäse is also produced in the central part of the country. East Germany does not at present export cheese. We do not export cheese. Yeah. Poland gets a call. These are the Eastern Bloc countries. Poland, a cattle breeding country, Poland is divided into two main areas. The Carpathian Mountains, where the shepherds first introduced recipes for mountain cheese. The grazing area is favoured by a breed of red-coloured cattle, while the black and white patch cows prefer the lowland areas of countries with moderate climate. By the 10th century, Krakow and Warsaw were important trading centres where cheese, among other goods, were brought and sold to Scandinavia, Russia and Eastern Europe. Polish seaports played their part in the Baltic Sea, which dominated by the Hanseatic League of Merchants. In the 9th century, along the northern side of the Carpathian Mountains, the preparation of Gouyer cheese started, and later in the production of tapas cheese. So I wouldn't mind now going to a cheese wheel. I think my daughters, they leave the house cheese. Okay, one of the first cheese factories was started by the name Daniel Johannes in 1879. A large landowners on their own farms handled 300 litres of milk daily. Corporately, they produced no less than 2 to 2.5 million litres a year, supplying cheese factories like the one founded in Weisselkopf in 1901. About the same time, cooperative factories arose, offering a good price for the farmer's milk. After the Second World War, during which most of half Poland's cattle were lost, the development of collective agriculture lagged far behind heavy industry. In recent years, however, government efforts to make Poland into a real dairy country are having some success. The unprofitable large estates were forced to make room for government undertakings, each with an average of 50 men, and large collective farms comprising an average of 23 families. As far, thank you, 23, average. You'd think there you'd say 23.6, but 23, exactly. As far as modern livestock is concerned, the black and white cattle have remained the most important. There is some 3 million sheep. This seems to be the total number of sheep. The choice of cheeses in Poland are rather limited and cannot be compared to a country like Yugoslavia, where cheese recipes were handed down by the family heritage. Polish cheeses, though, are good quality. The semi-hard version of Edam and Gouda are almost are the most common, but some hard cheeses like Goya and Metalski and Cheddar, plus a number of soft ones, Lambuski, Dimburger and Sehenhausen and Tilster and Camembert, Brie and Rockpole, Rockerford. The shape of semi-hard cheeses is sometimes different from the original. A real Polish cheese from the lower Carpathian markets is prepared from a mixture of cows and sheep milk called the Podhalandski. It is a brick shape and moderately large holes and a paste of soft rind. It's usually sold slightly smoked. Olzonski is a single milk cheese ripened in barrels produced mainly for the processed cheese industry. For Sir Solkowski, a brine cheese, only sheep milk is used. Knitted cheese are also made in Poland, as well as Sir Tawargowi, a cheese, fresh cheese curd with a fat content that can be vary between 30% and 42%. Sir Turstryski, or tourist cheese, is a well-known product, but not officially registered, and therefore preparation differs from place to place. It's a remarkable exception, especially since the government's dairy department now centralizes cheese in modern factories. Oh, good old enough. They really hate them. Okay, Czechoslovakia. It's rather a short cheese country. Then we have Hungary, Romania, and Soviet Union. Czechoslovakia. Now, nowadays, it's broken into two countries, but let's have it as one country. And Yugoslavia, here, it's sort of the horror of the wars there. Czechoslovakia. The first mention of cheese in the area, which is now Czechoslovakia, was found on the bills of the Brevnov Monastery in Bohemia during the 10th century. The oldest known cheese there was Holmolski, a sour milk type of cone shape. In Slovakia, to the east, there is a town known as the cheese, called Cheese Market. Chez Market. That's Slovakian. Which had a marketing right to the cheese as early as 1296. In days gone by, the cheeses were made mainly from sheep's milk and mountain shepherds when on country estates, and towards the end of the last century, by cottages and factories. Shepherds still make mountain cheeses in Slovakia. Towards the end of the lactation period, that summer, the backer, a head shepherd, prepares Ostbek, a sheep's milk cheese with good keeping qualities weighing between 30 and 500 grams, made in an egg shape and cheese as solid and hard paste characteristic of sheep flavour. The curd is formed while covered with whey and afterwards immersed in hot water to give a smooth surface. Finally, the cheese is put into decorative molds, brined and then smoked above the wood fire in the shepherd's mountain hut. In 3 to 6 days, the cheese becomes dark yellow to brown. During the same period, a quantity of Persian is also made. A sheep's milk cheese is kneaded curd, similar to Italian Cacciovallo. Two smoked ball-shaped cheeses tied together. Oh, that's right. This is cavalry cheese. Tied together, having the elastic consistency and piquant sour taste. So piquant is the general cheese flavour. Bishop's breakfast. On a high mountain in the pasture of Slovakia, Hrudkovský Sýr is made. So S-Y-R is that part of how you say cheese. The curd is loosely cut and kneaded away into a ball of each shape about 3 to 5 kilograms. It is then suspended with a cheesecloth to drain. After a maximum of 7 days ripening on racks on the mountain slopes, the cheese is sold either to passing trade or to cheese factories. The factories processes the product to make a cheese called Brinza. The Hajduski Hardoski is washed and the rind removed. It's then crumbled, salted and ground and malted in a process that makes a spreadable, slightly sour and sometimes rather salty cheese. It sounds a bit like Vegemite. In central eastern Slovakia, certain microorganisms invade the paste, greatly to its advantage. The Lipner type Lipdovskia Brinza cheese is famous. Brinza is also made of mixed sheep's cow milk. It's very popular, spread in sandwiches, accompanied by pickled onions and beer. 9 centuries ago, Bishop John of Bovia used a breakfast, on Olmutzquagrel, still popular today. Quagrel is a short ripened quark. I don't know what quark is. I've read it. I haven't understood it. It's something to do with skim milk, making skim milk cheese. And mixed with a long ripened quark, dried for a few days at room temperature, while the surface develops a mold and ferments. The flour is washed off and the quark gel ripens further in boxes, or nowadays in silos, until the wine surface has become orange coloured and very remarkable taste. These cheeses are related to the German Hans and Kass and sold in bricks, discs or slices. Czechoslovakian cheese industry is progressing rapidly. Originally used and now makes about 100 different types. Today, Osbeck and Plesinger are production in cheese factories as well as by shepherds. But cow's milk is used instead of sheep's milk. The reason that sheep's breeding is spread over too wide an area, the milk production is only geared for the summer months. Okay, I think I'll stop now, and then to follow is Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, Soviet Union, and that does all of Europe for you. And this picture here, just read this last picture. Hay making is a vital part of farm economy for the coming year. Hay is precious cattle food for winter months. Bad harvest followed by a long severe winter when cattle need more hay than usual can be disastrous for the small farmer. Good on your Urkoff stalk. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.